Okay, as we look at today's lesson, I say greetings in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, to our worldwide listeners, because there are many listening to these recordings, and we praise God for the expansion. From the heart of Christ Church in Lebanon, Pennsylvania, we thank you, and we ask that the Lord would work through His Word and anoint you, and with the Holy Spirit work through your life. My name is Bob Baltz, elder and longtime Bible teacher, and it is my privilege and honor to lead you today in today's Bible study. And with that, we're going to open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the privilege of meeting in a freedom society, and Lord, in a great place. And Lord, we ask that your word would flow through us. It would anoint us, and Lord, we ask that your word would impact us, that it would get us to go out there and make an impact on the world, in our families, and on the nation. And Lord, we know it all starts with us today. So Father, we continue to hold you up as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last week, if we remember, Pastor Rich has taught us that the body of Jesus Christ is the church, okay? And there are many things that make up the body. And he talked about different things, and I will go through those. Number one, he talked about that in the church, us as the body, we have to understand that we have to stand under His Word. That's the fruits of a true body of believers. We're standing underneath the Word of God, which is the Bible. And then number two, from Jesus flows all the power, and He equips His body as He needs. And we just praise the Lord for that. And then number three, Pastor Rich talked about, that Jesus is our example on how to pattern our lives, and He laid down His life for us that we could live. So building a strong body starts with you. It all starts with you. And we're going to talk about that today. And the lesson of today's message, if you will, is leading or losing. And I know you might think about that a little bit, but we are in a battle. And some of us before Christ, which I say BC, and Pastor Rich also uses this language, after Christ enters your life and you receive the Holy Spirit as your down payment, that is AC. And I talk in the text of AC, all of us have received Christ as our Lord and Savior. So in that light, after we receive Christ, He gives us eyes to see. And in the discipleship hour today, we talked about the soil. And then Jesus Christ talked in parables. And some people, they didn't have a clue what He was talking about, because God, through the Holy Spirit, didn't give them ears to hear. And of course, this was an awesome discussion in discipleship hour. So, in that text, we are in the midst of a battle. And some of you might say, well, what do you mean? I mean, okay, it's Satan King. Satan is the ruler of this world, okay? And it's Jesus Christ. He is the ruler of all mankind, the universe, and everything is underneath Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. However, for a time, the Lord, and I don't know why, until His salvation plan unravels, He allows Satan to still be ruler of this earth. And with that, there is a battle going on. Every day, I was looking out my window Friday, I've seen all these chemical trails being pumped up over a clear blue sky. I'm thinking, who's doing this? Why are we doing this? I'm looking at the water that's coming through the tap. I see all the poisons and the toxins that are put in the water supply, and I'm thinking, why are they doing this? I'm looking at the food and all the different avenues that, you know, we're getting fed through. It's like things that are very bad for us. Eventually, if we continue in most of these foods, it will kill us off. So yeah, and then spiritually speaking, there's Satan is working through the food supply. He's working through different avenues. He's basically trying to kill off the Christian culture. Did anybody ever take notice of that? Okay. Three of yous. That's a start. But yeah, there's a battle going on. And guess who wins in the end? We know who wins in the end. Jesus Christ. I'm on Jesus Christ's team. I want to stand with the winner. Okay. And with that, I praise the Lord for choosing all of us in His kingdom. And we will talk about building the body strong, and it starts today with us. Okay, with that, we're going to look at the text in the Gospel of Luke. Turn with me, if you will, chapter 14, verses 25 through 35. Chapter 14, verses 25 through 35. And this is the cost of being a disciple. And as Pastor Rich has taught us time and time again, there's maybe two different words we can talk about. Justification. Okay, and that justification, I've heard it said this way, that it's just if I had never sinned. And we can only come to that point through Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Through Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we become justified. And then sanctification, of course, is the other term we're going to talk about. Sanctification is at the point of justification, we go down through this ongoing road in life, growing into the form, into the shape, into the image of Jesus Christ. That is the progressive sanctification. So with that, Pastor Ritz said, salvation is free, but after that, it'll cost you everything. And listen to these words. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and his children, his brothers, his sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciples. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, this fellow began to build and was not able to finish. Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off, and he will ask for the terms of peace. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltness, how can it be made salty again? It is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. It is thrown out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And it's pretty awesome. Brother Dave talked about this a couple minutes ago in discipleship hour. He said, wouldn't it be awesome that was talked about in the message for today? And Brother Dave, you had no idea what was about to be read. So with that, we're going to be talking about these different costs, if you will. Okay, verse 26. Look at verse 26. you must love Christ supremely over all others and all other things in your life. And of course, when we think about this, we think about things that are so close to us. We think about daughters. We think about sons. We think about our wives. We think about our mothers, and so on and so forth. However, Jesus, He is telling us that we have to love Him more than any of these. In fact, if we remember, after Peter had sinned and denied Him three times, didn't He ask Peter the same thing? He said, "Do you love me more than these?" He asked him that over and over again. And Peter said, "Yes, Lord, I do." So this is the question that believers have today. Do you love Jesus Christ more than any of these? And the answer to that is yes. Yes, we do. Okay. And there are a couple of scriptures that relate to this. Matthew chapter 10, verse 34 through 39. Jesus talks about that. We're not going to turn to that because of the time frame. Jesus said, "I did not come to bring peace, but I came to bring a sword." And we know that when the Word of God comes into a household, a lot of times, and not so much in the United States, because we have really been blessed today in the United States with our freedoms. However, in other cultures, when some come to Christ, their family wants to kill them. Their own flesh and blood want to kill them because of the false religions and the false beliefs that are out there today. And we ask that the Lord would come against all those false religions and those false beliefs. And in Matthew chapter 10, the same, that's an awesome chapter to look into. Verse 22, Jesus tells us that we shall be hated for the sake of Jesus. You must lead today or you're losing to Satan's kingdom. Verse 27, let's look at that. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Okay, the way I interpret this is you carrying the cross is your life's calling. Many of us are called in, and this is different for each individual. Some of us are maybe, you know, down the road in life, but Jesus still has a calling for our life. He has a purpose for your life. Some of us are at the beginning of our lives, and you should be planning things out for your life because you should be planning to make an impact in this world for Jesus Christ. And I know Brother Dan, he's not here today, but he had talked many times that in our discipleship hour classes, etc., etc., we should be promoting amongst the young people that, hey, guess what? Some of yous need to think about being missionaries. Some of yous need to be thinking about being pastors. Some of yous think about being teachers in life, you know, so we can influence the generations to come, etc., etc. And we need to think about getting it into the politics to bring this nation back to Christianity, where it was founded, etc., etc. So you must bear your cross. If you're before Christ, BC, before Christ, how many of us thought life can't get any better than this? And I can speak of this. Some are raising their hands. And that noise in the background is my grandson. He don't like when I'm teaching. But but in time he'll learn to listen. Yeah, before Christ, you just don't have spiritual eyes to see. And then after Christ, after you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's like, do things ever change? Do things change for you? Of course, I had to rearrange all my activities, all my schedules. I had to change friends, if you will, when I came to Christ, because I could no longer be involved in some of the activities that I was involved in. And that is part of the cost of discipleship, bearing your cross. So, and sometimes it's tough to be a Christian. Bearing your cross, it could mean that you're not getting sleep today, because as Pastor Rich always talked it, your soul phone through the Holy Spirit is telling you, you got to do this today. And I'm thinking Brother Wayne, he just come back from a missions trip. That was bearing his cross. I mean, that took a lot. And Brother Bob and many of you have been on missions trips. And that's no easy task. That's putting your life on the line for Jesus Christ. And you will have treasures in heaven because of you did that. So, yes, there is a cost. You must bear your cross. And sometimes bearing that cross takes losing friends. Sometimes bearing your cross for Jesus Christ, people will talk about you behind your back. Sometimes bearing your cross, it's, you know, you can be depressed because things around you are so bad. But we know the hope is in Jesus Christ, because He is coming back. And we will be with Him in heaven. And we can't wait for that. Paul talked about that many times as he was basically brutalized by the people around him because they didn't want Jesus Christ. Okay, let's look at the next verse. Okay, 28. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? And then it goes on, for if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, this fellow began to build and was not able to finish. So with that, let's think about this. Your life is the tower that is being built. Okay, some of you realize this. And you must count the cost. Some of you right now, laying in front of you, you're contemplating education. You got to go to school. You might have to, like Pastor Rich, he's pursuing his master's degree, which praise the Lord, that'll come to pass this December. So counting the cost, what is it going to cost you? Well, it's going to cost you everything that you have. And a lot of times, it'll cost you your finances. So think about this, building the tower. Jesus Christ says that you are His temple. The Holy Spirit is dwelling inside of you. So you're no longer your own. You were bought with a price. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. So with that, Jesus Christ is doing a work within you today. So you must count the cost. Yeah, a lot of times it's going to cost you a lot. Sometimes you're not going to have money at the end of the month because the Lord moved you to help somebody out. The Lord moved you to give this person help or whatever, and your time is stressed out and stuff. But you must count the cost, and you must persevere, because Jesus says, anyone that turns back, once he has grabbed onto the plowshare, anyone that turns back, he's not worthy to enter the kingdom of heaven. So we can't be a shooting star. How many of you seen what they call pocket rockets? Like this person, like, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. They're gone. It's like, whoa. We have to be like the sun, the S-O-N, We have to be there for the endurance as long as it takes. We have to be there. And there's an analogy out there. It's called quitters, climbers, and campers in one of the books that I had read. Well, of course, life is like a mountaintop, okay? And at the very top of that mountain, Jesus Christ is waiting for you. And when you get there, you get all the treasures. You are a son. You are a daughter of God Himself. And you will be rewarded with all these things into eternity. The things are going to be so great that we cannot fathom how great these things are going to be with our minds right now. So, what are quitters all about? That's something that you want to get away from. If you're around a quitter, they can have influence over you. Just, hey, see you later. I'll pray for you, but I hope you change. Campers. How many of you ever camped out in life? And I say life's journey. Like all at once, you know, you're doing this, you're doing this, you're doing this. And things are so good, and it's just like your life becomes stagnant. You know, and, oh, I'm pretty comfortable. You know, I come to church on Sunday, and you know, the pastor gives a message, and you know, I go to discipleship hour, and things are good right now. There's nothing coming against me. There's no kind of, Satan's not trying to, you know, come after my family and all this other stuff. Well, guess what? You're camped in a tent alongside the mountain. You're no longer climbing. And God wants us to be climbers. He wants us to be continually climbing the mountain. Climbing the mountain, growing yourself in Him. And this is the sanctification process that Pastor Rich talks about so many times. Okay, so then the next one we need to talk about is, suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able with his 10,000? And it goes on like that. Well, we must plan things out. We must be planners. And a lot of times we have to, like, think of short-term goals, where we want to start today, where you want to be next week, where you want to be in 6 months, where you want to be in a year. So the Lord wants us to be planning our futures. He does not want us to be stagnant, just sitting around doing nothing. Because guess what? Too many of our forefathers have been doing that. And that's why this country is in the shape it's in right now. And basically, there's just a few of Satan's disciples that are pulling away the freedoms that we now have in America. So we got to stand against this stuff. We got to stand up and take account of these things. So in every area of your life, we have to be putting on Christ. And we have to be getting involved in every area of your life. Okay. You got to be interwoven in the things that you're listening to every day. What kind of music are you listening to? Is it God glorifying? If it's not, turn it off. Because God says it all starts with the mind. What kind of TV programs you're listening to? You wouldn't program garbage into your computer. But if you let your eye gate open to Satan's nasty stuff that is out there, you know, so nasty I can't even talk about it, that goes into your mind and it's in there. So God wants us to protect what goes into our mind, protect what goes into your mouth, protect what you're putting in your body. So we have to be on the lookout for all these things. Okay. That's the inner man. Now the outer man, of course, we're always, every day we have to have a steady diet of the gospel. We have to have a steady diet of prayer. We have to have a steady diet of studying the scriptures, reading the scriptures, and looking where you're going. And if you don't have a plan to succeed, then you're planning to fail. Think about that. Satan is hoping you don't have plans. Satan is hoping you're not planning your future out. Okay, number two, the outer man is a Christian. We have to take control of where we're at in life. Okay, some of you, you might be maybe in school right now. Well, wherever you're at, God says you're an ambassador to His. You're living in a foreign land. You take control right there. You're in control because Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Nobody else is in control. You're in control. And you make a stand for that. And don't let these evil things come against you. Make the stand. Okay, some of us, we might be at the job. Make your stand. Let yourself be known that you are a Christian. And you will not put up with the garbage that's coming out. And Satan, a lot of times, will step back. We'll step back. Because light blots out darkness. Brother Steve talked about that last week in Venture Clubs. We are the lights. We have to be shining our lights. And when Steve, of course, that was an awesome lesson for Venture Clubs. But what Steve had talked about, think about this. As each of us are shining Christ's light, when we all get together, think about this. You have one light, and I think, Jacob, you said that it can be seen for a mile. Is that right? He's nodding and says yes. He don't want to get involved, but he says yes. Think about this. Now you have these powerful spotlights, 1,500 watt candle power. And that is us as a group in unity in Christ. We become an unstoppable force for Jesus Christ. Okay? So that's what we have to be. And then we have in our roles, like some of us could be the leader of a household, whether it's the mom that's there without the husband, whether it's the husband, etc., etc. You must. God tells us in the Scriptures, you must take charge of your household or you're going to be losing it and it'll be taken away. So how does that look? You have to be standing up for the principles. What goes on underneath your roof? You're in charge of it. Take charge of it. Now I know this goes back many, many years ago. Some fellow was renting a property and he talked about this. And he said, he don't know what to do. There's a lot of stuff going on in this house. And I said, well, you're in charge. Take charge. So he took charge and he said he couldn't believe it. Things leveled off. Things stopped. The battle has to be over when the light enters in. And you are the light. Okay, as each of us do a self-audit, if you will, and each of us, every day, we got to plan, do, adjust. Plan, do, check, adjust. We have to remember that we are responsible completely to Jesus Christ. And we are to step up for Jesus. Because like Jesus said, if you deny me, I will deny you in the day of redemption. So, let me leave you with this. That as you stand up as the light of Christ, as you count the cost, as you work out your salvation through sanctification, you will inspire, you will encourage others for His glory. And I ask that you attempt many, many things for the kingdom and expect them to happen. This is walking by faith, not by sight. And with that, we're going to close with the hymn. Let us all rise.